We're looking at Genesis chapter 24, the first 15 verses. And in the Church Bible, it's on page 23. Genesis 24, reading the first 15 verses. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years. Now the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living. But will go to my country and to my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if this woman isn't willing to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'In your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time when the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to your master." Before he finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The Lord had a blessing to his word. And let us give thanks for the offering, and we'll pray for
Isn't this beautiful that we can remember some things that happened and that reminds us of the people who lost their lives. Some of them are related to us. Some of these events affect us in one way or the other. But wouldn't it be also nice to remember our friends who don't know the Lord and pray for them always? Whenever we come to Remembrance Sunday, let's not only remember what happened in that war or that bombing. What about our friends who don't know the Lord? We bring them also in that remembrance scenario. Today, Tony, let's hope technology is going to work. Sometimes it plays up. Thank you. The story that we read today prompted me to put that up. My theme is just servanthood. I looked in the dictionary and this is what I got. Servanthood is the condition of being a servant. Maybe if my dictionary is wrong, you can come to me after some time. Come here on Tuesday and tell me, Gilson, you remember what you said on Sunday? My dictionary is revealed different to what you told us. We are still continuing in that book of this great author, Moses. If you do know who wrote Genesis, it was Moses, according to scholars. And the story he's writing about here, you heard as Rainy was narrating to the children, it was about marriage. Isaac and Rebecca. If you look on the top of that story in your Bible, it actually says Isaac and Rebecca. Yes? But what excited me in that story is this one silent character who is not mentioned. I want to bet my life. Right? Get me right. I'm betting my life. This was never preached to you the way I'm going to present it today. Amen? You get it right. I am betting my life. You never heard it this way. Jania, you'll be a widow after this. If Right. In that story, we are told Isaac and Rebecca were getting married. The servant was sent to go and look for a bride. Wow. When I was looking for a girl to marry, I didn't send anyone. I went searching for myself. Went through courtship, went through all that, dowry, and I didn't pay my dowry for my wife. Dowry, yeah, you got it right, yeah. So, here we have this servant. I'm going to give him a name. As scholars have said, some scholars have said this guy is called Eleazar. If you go back to chapter 15, verse 2, he is mentioned by name, but not in chapter 24. He's not. So throughout my preach, I'll call him Eleazar. That's his name. I'm following the scholars because I'm a scholar too. I think I've got some scholars within us here, so they'll forgive me for that. For those who are not scholars, will say, Gilson, that name is mentioned, but for the process of my preach, is Eleazar. Amen? Right. So in today's sermon, we want to give credit where it's due. Okay? Some servants are not trustworthy. Some servants are not worthy to be called servants because they don't stand for that word. That's why I said my sermon today is themed servanthood. So, a servant has got to have good character. Okay? We are going to look at those things about servanthood. A servant's character, specific tasks, qualities, and then I will conclude. Trust and honesty is very important. Do you agree with me? The moment people lose trust with you, they start drifting away from you. So here, Abraham shows it. He had put trust in Eleazar. We are told he was the head of the servants in the household. So there was trust there. So servant's character must be trust, honesty, right? It doesn't end there. I just want to take you further up. In Genesis 39, there's this young guy who was working in the palace of the king. And I understand, and I'm told he was a handsome guy. The king's wife saw this handsome young man as an opportunity to have a lover. She tried by all means to get hold of this young man. But this young man kept saying, no, you are my boss's wife. I cannot take you to bed. But the queen wanted. So she waited for an opportunity. One day in the palace, as the young man called Joseph went to do his chores, the queen thought, I've got a chance. So she wanted to attract, to get Joseph's attention. But Joseph said, no, I can't do that. As they were tussling with one another, what remained in the queen's hand was Joseph's jacket. So she got, I got him. I've got evidence. He wanted to rape me. But she was telling lies. What Joseph refused is to sin against his God, against his master. So that is one paramount important character of a servant. Honor thy God and remain faithful to him. Okay? And the most important thing also is to make sure that this temple remains clean. Do you know your body is the temple of the Lord? The Holy Spirit lives in you. I always want to repeat this. Yes? So if you are the temple of God, it must be kept holy. Imagine if Joseph had gone to bed with the queen. The queen is not his wife. It's the king's wife. Yes, I know before then, we don't have the Ten Commandments. But already they are creeping. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So Joseph said, no, I won't do that. Paul also in Romans 13 verse 14 writes about it. He said, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify your desires of the flesh. Clothe yourself with Jesus. This is one of the qualities, the characters of a servant. As you are on this journey of servanthood. As we look at the story of Joseph, hear this. Avoid cheating. Avoid temptation. Avoid physical passions. Obey God. Maintain moral standards. And maintain your integrity. I said to you earlier on, if you people lose trust with you, they start drifting away from you. So if you maintain your integrity, people will be attracted to you like a magnet. Yes? So this is what we should do. Going back to our story, back in verse 3, Abraham does one thing. He asked his loyal servant to do one thing and one thing only. To swear. Two times this type of swearing is mentioned in the Bible. Come here, Eliezer. Put your hand in here. And make a vow. If you read the story of Joseph was also, if my theology is right, he also asked his brothers and relatives to make a vow and ask them to put their hand there that they will carry his bones back to their motherland. But that's not about what I'm preaching today. But what I'm preaching today is about being confident and making a vow for something that you're going to do. You're not going to divert. Yes? Recently, Jania, myself, we went to write a test so that we can become British citizens, right? If you read in that story, you find out there's somewhere where you swear allegiance to the queen. Am I right? Even those in the military as well, they do the same. If you don't swear your allegiance to the queen, you're a rebel. So you've got nothing to do with this country. So if I don't swear my allegiance to the queen, I don't think they'll give me citizenship, will they? So Eliza swears to Abraham and takes an oath. He was going to remain faithful, committed to his master. In other words, it says in 1 Peter 2:1, therefore, rid yourself of all malice. If I announce it right, because I remember in our Bible study, I was corrected when I said malice. But you know the one I'm referring to. And all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Servanthood needs commitment. Servanthood needs commitment, ladies and gentlemen. If you have taken a vow, remain faithful to that vow. If I'm right, the majority of you in here, you have said with your own mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. And he died and he was raised from the dead. Yes? So, if you have taken that vow that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, don't divert. As we carry on, there's one other thing that those who have taken a vow to remain loyal to the Lord should do one thing and do it properly. This young guy, Eliza, he does one thing. He prays. And in his prayer, he's asking, not for his own personal gains, but he thinks of his boss, Abraham, that everything will go according to plan, and may you bless him and answer him what he's asking for. That's something specific. So when we pray too, we must be specific. We are on the specific tasks now. Be specific what you are asking from the Lord. And also remember to pray for other people. Those of you who come for early morning prayers in the church, every Sunday morning, I always pull out a list of prayer requests from the EBA. That's our task as a church. We've got to pray for one another. Not always for myself. Lord, may I get a job? Lord, may I get a house? Lord, what about the others? Who is going to pray for them if we are not praying for them? That is one of our tasks. But listen to this. Abraham goes to his servant. He says something specific about his son marrying a Canaanite woman. He wanted his son to marry a girl from his own people in Mesopotamia. Maybe this might sound harsh in today's communities, but in those days, it was a thing of the moment. Boys and girls were not just going around marrying each other. No. Parents were arranging so that it remains maybe with family lines or family traditions. But now, we've let out of the cage. We can do what we want. It's marriage, isn't it? But I am not preaching about marriage today. There is something particular in that setup of marriage. Yes, boys and girls can marry whoever they want. But there is one thing. Check that marriage scenario to Christian life. Okay? Should we be yoked with unbelievers? No. We go to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:14. He talks about us not being yoked with non-believers. This is where the setup of the marriage. Yes, now we can marry whoever you want. But as believers, we are not supposed to be yoked with unbelievers. What has got light to do with darkness? When light approaches, what happens to darkness? It runs away. So the two don't meet. So same applies to us believers as well. We don't mix with non-believers. We cannot be yoked with unbelievers. That's why Abraham says, go back to my people and go and get a wife for my son from there. I don't want him to marry a Canaanite woman. Same applies. The Lord doesn't want you to be playing around with non-believers. You can preach to them, that's fine. But not to be yoked with non-believers. Imagine your minister this morning coming before I preach to you. I slept in a brothel last night. There you go. What will you do? What will you say if you hear that Jania comes in the morning? He said, congregation, he didn't sleep at home last night. He slept in a brothel. I think the whole church will say, minister, pack your bags and go. So this is what it implies to. Yes, it's about marriage there, but let's bring this marriage scenario to us as believers. Why should we be yoked with non-believers? In what they do, we are also in there. I always watch on my screen when I like watching football. But in between, they bring adverts. But what's that? Bet something, Jenny, was it? When they advertise about betting on the Bet 365. If you are a believer in watching football, don't be tempted. We should pray against temptation, should we? Ignore that advert. Yes, it might bet 365 and you think, oh, well, I can do that. No, you cannot. That's for non-believers. If you are a lotto player, I'm saying today, stop lottering, because you are being yoked with non-believers. So this is what Abraham was telling his servant. My son mustn't marry a Canaanite woman. Go back to my country and get my people. But also, I want to draw you back about going back to your country. It's about going back to the country where you came from. You were a sinner before. But I'm saying now, don't go back to that country. You've got nothing to do with sinners. Okay? There's some who say, if you can beat them, join them. Not with you lot. You don't use that statement. If you can beat them, join them. If you can beat them, remain who you are. You belong to Christ. Amen? Yeah, so don't join them. This is what Abraham was telling to Eliza here. I don't want my son to marry a Canaanite woman. So Christ is also saying he doesn't want you to be yoked with unbelievers. He doesn't want you to go back to the country where you were before. You were in the country of sinners. You were a sinner before. But don't go back to where you were before. Servanthood is about building community. Servanthood is about purity. According to Paul, he tells us not to live as Gentiles. Yes? Because we're now clothed in Christ. We cannot be Gentiles anymore, or we cannot live like Gentiles anymore. There's one task that Eliza is being told about here. In his prayer, he's praying and asking about the type of a girl who's going to come to the well. Once he sees those particular qualities, he will say, that's the right one. That's a special prayer and a special request. In your prayers, have you asked for something specific from God? Wholeheartedly, without doubt. Maybe it's only me. But when I look at scriptures in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, God is even saying, I will show you greater things than these. That is if you are really committed in your praying life. Eliezer said to the Lord, the one who will come here, if she waters me and also waters my camels, that's the one. Have you ever thought of hospitality for other people in your lives? How much or how comfortable are you in giving other people hospitality? That's one of the qualities. Special task in servanthood. You must consider hospitality for other people. Eliza mentioned the first girl to come to the well must behave. How is your behavior? You are a servant of God. But how is your behavior? At work? At home? Are you another Iraqi situation at home? Your wife is even afraid when it's time to go home. Your husband is even afraid to come back from work because he knows you're going to the war battle. How is your behavior at home? This girl's behavior was top quality. Listen, I was researching and I was told in my reading, she should have been around 14 years. You remember the story of Mary? She was a virgin. That's one quality. Virgin means pure. Perfect. 100%. Right? Here, Rebecca also is mentioned to be a virgin at that age. But there's one quality I want you to pick up. You saw the bucket that Rennie showed us. I was asking Tony earlier on, how many liters can that bucket be? I'm blessed you don't live with me. If you were my wife, I would have said you peeped in my notes. Because I've got here the calculation about the contents of the bucket. So I said to Tony, how many liters can that be? Tony said about 5. So there was a child who said 20. That child said exactly what was on my notes. So I said, yeah, this young girl at 14, she watered 10 camels. Each camel takes about 200 liters of water. So that is 20 of those. Right? At 14, doing 2,000 liters on her own without someone helping her. That's a great commitment. Right? Virginity shows purity. We should remain pure for the Lord. We should show a lot of commitment for the Lord. This little girl has shown us that this morning. The Virgin Mary was not selfish. Either was Rebecca. She considered other people first. These two women in the Bible give us a good example to us. Doesn't Christ say, those who want to become great must humble themselves? He goes on to say, when he was speaking to his disciples, if you want to be a great servant, whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. If you want to be great, be a slave of all. Jesus doesn't end there. He finishes by saying, for even the Son of Man did not come to be saved, but to save and to give his life as a ransom to many. Isn't this what Elijah is showing us here? He's committed to his master. We also need commitment to our God. We also need commitment to Jesus Christ. We also need commitment and remember the vows that we took when we became Christians. Are we still within those ethos of, at our age, we are 60, we are 14, watering 10 camels. A 14-year-old girl watering 10 camels. It's not from the tape like what we do today. It was in a well. I know what it is. At our little plot in Zimbabwe, there is a well. We used to draw with a string to go down there to fetch water. To fetch 200 liters in that way for one camel, let alone 2,000. That's a lot of determination. That's a lot of endurance. So, ladies and gentlemen, the character of a servant must be straightforward. The character of a servant must be honesty. The character of a good servant must have trust. With those specific tasks and qualities I've mentioned to you, I could have left some behind, but I only brushed on the ones that hint on what it all means about servanthood. It's not a pick and choose. They come together as a bunch. Elijah's story is about servanthood, brothers and sisters. How did it come to you? Were you centering on the marriage? I said to you when I started, you have never heard it the way I'm going to preach it to you today. You were centering on the marriage, but I was not. I was centering on servanthood. Eliza was a silent assassin in the story, but I want him to be a hero in that story. Continue with that story and you hear what happened. The first thing also, Isaac, when he sees Rebecca approaching, he thanks God. In fact, he was actually meditating. So when he saw them, wouldn't there have been celebration? Say, oh, God has answered my prayer. There is the woman that I've been praying for. God is great. All the time, God is good. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to the end of our service, Lord, I want to pray for myself. And then I want to pray for those who are closer to me. I want to pray for my community and those around them. Father, I want to pray for those in authority as well and those around them. Father, let them lead us with the wisdom that comes from you. But above all, Lord, we want to pray for those who haven't heard your word, or those who ignore purposely. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to them. Let also the Holy Spirit speak to us day in, day out, and remind us of those qualities of a servant. Remind us of the specific tasks the servant must do in order to endure servanthood. Lord, you are a loving God. You are a caring God. We wouldn't finish, Lord, without thanking you for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we are proud because we are free people because of what he has done. Thank you, Lord. We've prayed and asked all these things in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.